Blessing to be here, and it's a special blessing this morning to have Dr. Dan Gillette here. I was thinking about how to introduce him, and the first thing I think of is that I need to do it carefully because he's very alert. I've shared this before with him, and probably out loud as well, but my first recollection of hearing his voice, I was in about fifth, sixth grade, and it must have been early in his ministry here in Elkhart, I would hope. He had a short 15-minute radio program, and my mom would turn on the radio, and that was part of our morning routine before school. And so I, as many of you, heard his voice, and I can't think of another person who has had such a diverse ministry and has reached so many different people. I don't usually think of him as Dr. Dan Gillette, but I, especially even watching him come in today, I think of him as Pastor Dan Gillette, and many of you do as well. Wherever he goes, there are people that have been ministered to by him, by his family, and he has that kind of a heart for not only the ministry, but also a very passion for the Word of God that the Lord has allowed him to preach and to be faithful at it. And we honor you for that, and it causes us too to look forward to hearing from you. So if you want to start up this way, we are looking forward to what God has for us today through Dan Gillette.
Thank you for being here.
God bless. Well, I'm delighted to be here. I really am. I'm delighted to be anywhere. What an encouragement. I read in the bulletin that I'm an esteemed, I'm a little nervous about what that means, but I'm encouraged because I came in here and tried to get settled a little bit early, or earlier, and my wife didn't join me, so I see she's here in the service and I'm delighted that she's here. This is a big day for us. Today we conclude 19 years married. And that doesn't seem like much to some of you, but if you add the century that I had with another lady, and then this, you get a little idea that wouldn't be long, and I'd be celebrating quite a long time married, huh? And thank you for putting up with your pastor, who brings folks like me here on occasion, and you can relax, because there won't be very many opportunities like that, I'm sure. This is kind of the swan song or something, whatever they call that. But here's what. This is the craziest day I've ever lived in today. Huh? Who would have ever believed that what's happened in our country would have happened? Listening to what's going on makes me keep looking up and wondering, maybe soon, huh? Because the Bible did predict all this. We didn't think it would come in our lifetime, but that's one of the greater evidences that it has, because it says when you don't think it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So it is going to happen, we're sure of that. But we're always praying for mercy. I need it. My children and their children and their children's children need it. And our country surely needs it. But we're long overdue as a country for a good time spanking by God, huh? At our house, we called it thrashing. Now, spankings were appropriate, but they were for lesser things. But thrashing meant that we were going to roll up our sleeves and go to work on it. Well, at least Dad was going to do that. But listen, this dear country that we love so much is due, long overdue. So it's good to know that God will not make any mistakes about it. He hasn't made one yet, huh? What a God we have. I have a scripture I want you to look at right now, because that's what we are. We're scripture people, the Bible. And I'm looking at a very familiar verse, but the danger is that we may be so familiar with it that we're looking over it. It's in Romans chapter 8. In fact, the vast majority of us in this room today could quote the verse I'm starting with, 28. And we know that all things, Obama, try to swallow that. I'm taking so many pills today, I have to have a big glass of water just to get the morning pills down. And then, but that pill that I just mentioned swallows real hard with me. All things work together for good to them that love God. I was in my chair the other day. I spent a lot of time there. I'm real comfortable in that chair. It's more comfortable than I've ever been in a chair before, but it's a good one. And I was thinking about what Joseph must have been thinking as he was sold into Egypt and as he rode away with the traitors that took him. And I thought, now what would he be saying? I know what I'd be saying. You guys are going to get it. That's what I would have said, you know. Because they had sold him. And they had to face the dad. And as we look back at that, we say, Joseph, don't be upset. Huh? God's in charge. He's not making any mistakes. He's got to get you into Egypt because Egypt needs Joseph, huh? It's an amazing, this God. And I haven't seen some of you of late, but as I look into your faces, I know that there have been things that have happened in your world that you would have liked to have said, as I suggested, maybe Joseph wanted to. But all of us have learned something, haven't we, since the day we trusted Jesus? That he doesn't make any mistakes, and he's a good God, and he can be trusted. My, if we could get that today firm in our mind, it'd be an hour worthwhile being here, wouldn't it? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, I want to say to God on a daily basis, God, what are you doing? I mean, what is going on? As the crazies announce they want to be our next president, huh? For whom, verse 29, he did foreknow. If you are in the family of God today, you're there because he knew you. Before there was a world, he knew you. How about that? He also predestined or planned to be conformed to the image of his son. What is God doing? He's working on us, conforming us to be like Jesus, the image of his son. I need to pray. Can I do that right now, please? Father in heaven, these are precious moments in your sight because you planned for this hour. Would you please guide me and guide this dear flock of people? I pray for Pastor and Ronald Lee, who are celebrating 40 years together, and I pray, Lord, that you will bring them back safe and suit a blessing for them today. But in this hour, Lord, I pray with the psalmist, open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your law. That's why we're here, Lord. Open our eyes. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Bible says God works on all of his children, all of them. And I was born in a family of five boys and one girl. I think she was a part of that family. But she got preferential treatment, so she wasn't worked on as often as the boys were, that's for sure. I had three sons and one girl, and she claims the same situation. She was, and if you're doubting that she got preferential treatment, she could call three witnesses that would spend a long time testifying to it. So, he's working on us. All the circumstances of your life, he knows about and he's involved in. The God of the Bible. I, thinking of this celebration, read somewhere about a couple who had been married 50 years. Some of you here would qualify for that. We're happy for you. This particular couple struggled in their marriage. And in fact, he said when she changed, he would. And she said when he changed, she would. And they had 50 wonderful years of fighting all the time. Okay? I mean, not a little, a lot. So much so that she became very discouraged about it. And after they'd had their 50th celebration, one day she was having some mellow feelings about everything and said to her husband, "Dear, we've lived together for 50 years. But we've both been miserable the whole time. And I think it's time for a change." And he concurred. That'd be good. In fact, she said, "I've been praying specifically about that change. I've been praying that the Lord would take one of us home." And she was just silent for a moment and then said, "And when he answers my prayer, I'm going to go live with my sister in Grand Rapids." Why would that be? You say that didn't really happen. No, probably not. But it could have. Because there are many things that keep us from addressing needs that need to be addressed in each of our lives. Many things, like the standard of living, which we've all adjusted to quite well. Or our own pride, or friendships that we have, or goals, or aspirations, you name it. But here's what I'm announcing today to everybody here. God wants every one of us to make changes. That's his plan. He's working all of it for our good. He wants all of his children to look and act like him. Think of that. Now, let's spend a little time talking about that, because God in the Bible outlines for us some things He's given us to help us with these changes. If you prayed with me from the words of Psalm 119:18, "Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your law." If you prayed that, then you're asking God to open you up, help you. And we do know that the God of the Bible is in the business of answering prayer. Isn't that true? You say, "Well, I've prayed about something." Just a minute. If you don't have any evidence that God that you pray to hears you and answers prayer, something's really wrong. Somebody's not keeping track, because He is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. It's amazing to me just to begin to share with my Sharon some of the things that I'm praying for, and then to say to her, "Honey, guess what? This is what I've been praying for, that to happen." It's amazing. Is it really? I thought we had a God who hears and answers prayer. Now, I'm not suggesting today that every word that you give to Him, He takes as instructions. No, no. But I am saying He hears them all. And He is in the business of answering prayer. So that changes. He uses prayer. I'm not sure that the lady in my story got her answer to that prayer that she was praying. Got to go live with her sister in Grand Rapids. I'm not sure about that prayer, but I am saying this: God does hear prayer. More than that, He uses preaching to help us along in developing. I'm not sure that my brother, who heard me in sixth grade, you said, about. I don't know, he was listening to the morning that Bill Miller, who was the head honch up at the station, switched that over. But I did that broadcast from the basement of the parsonage with a live feed that went up there. So I got a cup of coffee and sometime was in my robe. But I would go down there. But this particular morning, I thought the alarm was ringing, and I'm reaching over trying to turn it off, and I knock the phone off the thing. The phone is ringing, and I pick it up and put it to my ear, and I hear the theme music of the broadcast, and Bill Miller says, "Reverend, I've got you tied in. You'll be on in just a second or two on the phone today." So I cover the phone up and holler. Joyce is sound asleep beside me there. "Babe, get my Bible!" And threw the covers off and rolled out from under and did that one in my skivvies. She's laughing and leaving the bedroom because she said, "I can't listen there. I can't have you say, 'Well, good morning, friends. How great it is to talk to you this morning and see you sitting there in your skivvies.'" She said, "I just can't hardly handle that." But God does use all kinds of things. Prayer, those who speak the word of God clearly, what a blessing they are. I'm so grateful. Hardly a Sunday goes by that I don't have somebody say to me, "We listen faithfully to you." That's humbling to me. I can't believe that that's been given up. I did predict if they once gave it up, they would never get it back. And I don't even know that they want it back, but I sure wanted the opportunity to talk to the whole community about this best friend that I've ever had, and that's Jesus. But he uses prayer, he uses preaching, he uses the Holy Spirit to prompt us, inner promptings. Now, that's not as good as the next thing I'm going to mention to you, but it's good. I like to sense when I'm being led by the Lord, don't you? Have I missed it? You can get in the Hall of Fame if you bat 400. Come on. We've all missed it on occasion. Except the one who hears prayer, he never missed it. He's right on all the time. But what I'm trying to say to you is don't convince me or try to convince me that the inner prompting that you're having in a particular matter is the Holy Spirit. Because that's an individual thing. He lives in you, and it's also easily misunderstood by human feelings, isn't it? So where are we now? We're to the main agent that God uses for change, and that main agent is the Scriptures, the Bible. Now, friends, listen, your pastor has been taking you through a study of the Lord's Prayer, huh? What a blessing that could be. The disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then that's what he said. This is how you do it. This is how you pray. Friends, we don't even know how to pray apart from the Bible. We learn how to pray from the Bible. We don't know how it is to live as God wants us to live apart from the Bible. So, I have a verse of Scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 17, which I'm going to read to you right now. John's Gospel 17. Verse 15. "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world." Jesus is talking to his Father in John 17. "But thou shouldst keep them from the evil." Whoa. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Look at verse 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth." The word to sanctify means to set apart as holy. Change them, in other words, make them look more like Jesus. How would he do it? Through the truth. "Sanctify them through thy word." Thy word is truth. How do we know for sure that this is the Bible? Well, you can study evidences if you're interested, but I would say to you this, you know basically by faith that this is the Word of God. I'm not discouraging you to study all of the evidences, but I am saying this, that the bottom line is you can look at all the evidences and still not accept it. It is the Word of God. You say, why? Well, here's what. It says so. It claims to be the Word of God. And if you're wise at all and notice, it seems to be the Word of God, and it proves to be the Word of God. Just do what it says and find out for yourself that it is the Word of God. But it seems to me that if change is going to happen, we'll have to look carefully at this book. I'm turning to 2 Timothy right now, and would like you to as well, if you can find it. 2 Timothy, because if God uses prayer, and He does, if God uses preaching, and He does, if God uses the Holy Spirit, and He does, if His main agent to change you and me is the Bible, then let's go back there and spend a little time. You mind? I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture, in the Greek, that's the word for writings. All, not thoughts, writings. All the writings are given by inspiration of God. Literally, are the breath of God. Don't catch yourself being caught up in the moment of which we live, in which they say, well, we don't know about that. If God has spoken about it, we do know about that. Huh? If He has spoken about it, then it's absolutely dependable. It's God's breath. And consequently, it must be consistent with all that He is. And He tells me in this book that He's breathed for me, that He loves me every day, and that His love doesn't change. He doesn't change, but He wants me to. And I can count on that. More than that, He tells me how to handle things. There are things going on in my world that never have gone on in my world before. It's all new. And someone said downhill too. Well, it's different, that's for sure. But he says to me, I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you. I'm going to take care of you. And he speaks to me every day. I have to share something. My honey and I, we get together around the Bible every day. Did I do that as faithfully with Joycey as I should have? Well, one of the problems in that day was that Joycey was a night person. She didn't like to go to bed at night. And I was raised on the farm, and we died at night. That's all. So I was raised to go down. It seems to me, if you were wise at all and looked about, the chickens all head in when it gets dark, and that's it. Time to hang it up. But so having those times, little tougher. But in the morning, oh my goodness, she was impossible to wake up. And on the farm, hey, I can hear my dad coming up those stairs yet. He's already called us. And the time we heard him on the stairs, he had a glass of ice water in his hand. And we were coming out of that bed. And the truth is, there were more arms than I ever seen before, all moving at the same time, legs too. But here's what. God wants you to look into his book faithfully, and I think he wants you to do it as a couple. Say, well, what are you going to do about that? Well, I said to her often, that's my babe who's in the glory, babe, I'd suggest you read this passage, because I read it, and this is what God said to me, and maybe he'll say something like that to you. Who knows? So did we ever have, oh yes, we had times, of course. We gathered the children together with us at supper time. I'm talking about a hubby and wife talking together. You don't get a chance to do that as much when you have the little ones around. Isn't that true? It wasn't bad that God planned that they should leave. And not come back. here's what. Well, you're in Timothy. I need to just read a verse to you from Philippians chapter 4. Can you just thumb back there for a minute? You say, how near through are you? Well, I'm just about to the end, folks, so get ready here, okay? I'm in Philippians chapter 4, and I think it was Thursday of this week, Sharon and I were reading this together. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Saved people are supposed to be happy. The next verse says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. I stop for a moment. I don't know what you get from moderation, but one author I was reading said that sweet reasonableness. Choke on that one, sir. Here's the one that choked me. Gentleness. I said to Sharon, how many people, honey, do you think who know me and that I pastored for all those years would say, well, that's our pastor. He's gentle. She laughed. I laughed too. And there's about a half a dozen of you sitting in this audience this morning are laughing who know me real well. And you're laughing with me, not against me. But God spoke to me in that time about being gentler. That doesn't mean that we have to refuse to take good stands for God, but you can do that in a gentle way, huh? And Jesus sure did. And he wants us to be like him. And so, for those of us who got bit with this masculinity bug in extra dosages, remember, there is no greater man on earth than the God-man. That's Jesus. Let your gentleness be known. You say, well, how has it changed anything? Well, why don't you worry more about you than me? Because that's the me is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be working on me. And I let you in on the fact that I'm working on this right now. Being gentler. Because that's what the Bible says. Let your gentleness be known. The Lord's at hand. Well, folks, I've just got started. And you're saying, well, you were all that was just getting started. I'll look at one more scripture with you. We'll go back to the one in Timothy that you left a minute ago. And God says he wants to use the Bible on a regular basis. And if we open it and say to God, God, I need you to speak to me from the book today. My, what a difference that will make. We'll pay attention to what the voice of God really is all about. He's talking to us. He says in this 2 Timothy passage, it's profitable for doctrine. The word doctrine scares people away, particularly in this day in which we live, but it shouldn't. It's just the teachings. How do we know? How would we know how to get along with people apart from the Bible? We don't do well with that. We think just that the Palestinians and the Jews are the only folks who fight. Hey, I raised kids. Huh? More than once I said to mine, you know, this is not God's plan. This family is supposed to love one another. Your mother and I love one another very much, and we loved having you. Except some days. But it's profitable. Open it up. Look at it carefully. Study it. Every day, look at it. Every day, every day, every day, look at it. And if things are not as they ought to be, if you're a little bit brittle, a little bit dominant, a little too bossy, he'll speak to you about that. He'll say, let your gentleness be known, Dan. That's what he'll say. Or whatever it might be. Because it speaks to us. It's for reproof. The book corrects us if we let it. And more than that, it's good. The King James says correction. That's how to make it right. It focuses on what's wrong, and then it tells us what you can do to make it right. And then instruction in righteousness, how to keep it on track. Well, folks, I'm amazed. I'm amazed that I heard about the isolated fellow who spent his life out of circulation, who was to town when they opened a little place, and he had never been there before. And as he looked around in that place, he saw a mirror, and he had never seen one before. He picked it up and held it so affectionately, said to himself, "My father, that's my father." He knew his wife never liked his dad, so he didn't tell her. He bought it, took it home, and thought it would be better not to share it with her because she never liked him. And to have his picture, he couldn't put it up. So he took it down to the barn and didn't know what to do. He didn't want her, when she came down to help, to see it. So he crawled up a ladder to the haystack and hid it in the hay up there. And not daily, not even weekly, but there would be times he'd crawl the ladder and just sit up there and look at it. His daddy was gone, and he loved it. And one day she came to the barn to look for him, and there he is up in the haystack, sitting in the hay, just sitting there. She wonders what that's all about. She didn't think anything about it, and a few days later she saw him back up there again. She said, "Something's going on here that I'm not up on." So when she was sure he wasn't around, she crawled up the ladder and is reaching around in the hay to see what the... And she found it and held it up and looked at it and said, "Oh my God, this is the hussy he's running with." This is the mirror right here. The Bible says that we're as dumb as that guy who thought a mirror was a picture of his daddy because he hadn't looked in a long time at what had happened to him, nor had she. And friends, we'll miss it too if we don't spend time in it, because it tells us what we need to know and what we need to correct. It tells us how to correct it and how to stay on track. And boy, do I want to be there, don't you? Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your law. Would you take your hymn book, please? If you have the hymn book, I didn't get it up to the folks, so... .388 is the number. 388. What does he want to do? He wants us to open our eyes and to see that The things we need are here in the book. The things that need to be corrected, He will underscore. Boy, did He do that for me this last week. Let your gentleness be known. The Lord's at hand, Dan. Am I proud to speak to you about that? No, no. I'm sorry that I didn't get a hold of that a long time ago and think a lot more about it than I'd have. And the folks who are close to you wish that you'd start thinking about the things that God wants you to change. That's just directly the opposite of everything in our society. It says, I'm in charge. It's for me. And the Bible says, God's in charge. And He's the boss. And the song says it. Would you stand with me, please? It's a little hard to sing this one lustily. Think about it. Have thine own way. It's just in a situation like this where some of God's children get turned around. Because if you belong to the family, as I do, I know when He's tugging at me. And so do you. My being. It's the last verse. I don't know what God might be saying to you, but I know He's saying to me, Dan, I'm the potter and you're the clay. Hold o'er my being. The last verse. Have thine own way. Jesus, make a difference in my heart, in my precious Sharon's heart today, because we spent this time together, and in these dear friends at Grace. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's the sweetest name we know, Jesus. You fill our every longing, keep us singing as we go, but you want to change us. Keep doing it, Jesus, I pray. In your precious name.